tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, the best intro song ever.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yes.
So appropriate.
Welcome, After Buzzers, to the very first episode of The Royals, E's first scripted show. This episode was called Stand and Unfold Yourself. I am Christina Kaplan, and I'm joined by these beautiful ladies here next to me.
Hi, I'm Fern Ronay.
Hi, guys. Tracy Probst.
Hi, and it's Megan Stecker.
Yes, so guys, how exciting. First episode.
I'm very excited.
There's so much to talk about.
So much.
Yes. Jeez. All right, well, let's just dive right in with the very first major thing that happened, which was Prince Liam and Ophelia hooking up, you know. She's probably not, well, we know the Queen doesn't like that.
Right.
And not under the royal code, but what did you guys think of their initial, like, meeting? I know we watched the episode twice, and the first episode that all of us saw, we saw the part where they're in the bar and she's drinking, and doesn't she call him like a stupid idiot or something like that? And then, you know, they end up getting together. What was your guys' initial reaction about that?
I thought they didn't know each other at all, like that she was just some stranger. Did they know each other?
No, they didn't.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Ophelia knows who he is, but he didn't know who she was.
Right.
So do you think he ever saw her around the palace?
Well, maybe he saw her in passing, but not enough to be like, oh, I recognize that girl, obviously, you know?
This is what I gathered from it, that she grew up in the States, and then after her mom died, she moved there. So I guess she's probably been at the palace for like a year. Mm-hmm. And so maybe, but yeah, he had no idea who she was, which was kind of weird as we continue to watch the episode, because we saw her constantly just strolling around the palace.
Right. Even standing in the front when like before they went to the funeral.
Right. She looked like she kind of.
How'd she get that spot?
Like front row. But yeah, so I don't know. I thought it was very interesting. I mean, I think he just kind of looked at it as a general hookup when she kind of knew more. I mean, she knew who he was. She knew what she was doing, whether she regretted it. Too much gin, a little less tonic, as she put it. But yeah, it was very interesting, kind of like a little predicted, a commoner hooking up with a royal.
Right.
So. See, I thought, I don't know if it was maybe in the extended version, that he said something about, like, I'm sorry I didn't recognize you. And she was like, oh, that's okay. I haven't been back that long. I thought that was in the extended version, maybe, but not the version we just watched.
So maybe they knew each other when they were young.
Maybe that's
because
it.
Because she alluded to that, too, with maybe the king, that she drew him a picture when she was young.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and Eleanor said, you know, how she remembered her mom and all of that stuff. So, obviously, they knew she had to have been around more than just those few months that she'd been back.
Yeah,
true.
But, yeah, I guess a typical guy, they don't notice anything. I'm sorry for all the guys out there watching, but, you know, the little details they're not going to pick up on. At least most guys don't. But anyways, yeah, so I kind of, like you said, Tracy, it was kind of predicted, the whole commoner royal thing hooking up, and the way that, like, it all happened, how he didn't know who she was, blah, 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 all that. You know, it was kind of like, okay. And then Marcus, his security detail, had to be like, oh, it's Ophelia, you know, Ted's daughter.
Right.
So
all these first
name
bases.
And then, but then how their relationship has sort of developed is she was so against it being like, oh, it's just a hookup, you know, it's not a relationship. I'd never wanted to see your son again, blah, 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 blah. I want to know what you guys think as far as, was that like an act? Do you think she was just saying that to maybe appeal to the queen or to her father? And then once everyone started saying, oh, don't see him, now she's like, oh, now I actually need to see him just to spite everyone. What did you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of one of those things where maybe she was being a little realistic. Like, okay, this is the prince. I was just a one-night stand. So maybe it was one of those things where she didn't want to get her hopes up, so she was trying to play it down. Right. Yeah. So she's kind of like, oh, it was nothing. I didn't expect anything to come from it. You know, I wish something would, but I don't expect anything to. And then as it kind of progressed, you can tell how excited she is that. That's kind of, I don't know what I thought.
Yeah. I felt the same way, that she's just kind of protecting herself, and why would he ever be interested in me? We hooked up, but we both knew it was just a hookup. But I predict that they're going to break each other's hearts, even maybe just all in the first season, because it's like she, you know, is playing cool with him, and then probably it'll get to a point where he plays cool with her. And, you know, the other one will be like, well, I thought you liked me. Well, I thought you liked me. You know, so I think it's going to go back and forth with the two of them a lot.
And then in season 8, there'll be a royal wedding.
Season 8, I hope it doesn't take that long.
No. But I felt like she, you know, prince or no prince, she was a young girl who likes this guy but doesn't want to get her hopes up. And then when he asked her out, it was, there was no way she was saying no.
Was it realistic? Was that realistic, do you guys think? Like, for him to be asking her, you know what I mean? Like, seemed like he was very the one pushing it. And I'm like, you have so many girls, like, that are in love with you on a day-to-day basis, and this is, like, the one that you absolutely want to pursue. Like, what was that about?
Well, maybe it had to do with the fact that she wasn't really interested in anything more, and kind of, maybe a lot of other girls that he's hooked up with in the past have thought, oh, now I'm going to be in a relationship with the prince, and because she was just like, oh, it was just one thing, like, you know, I never thought I'd see you again, basically. He was kind of, like, more intrigued by her.
The chase.
She wasn't really interested in him. Yeah.
Right.
God. You know, yeah, the chase. The, yeah. The infamous chase that we're all
Well, maybe it's,
so
like, the commoner thing about her was attractive. Because he does, he has the pick of the litter of all the aristocratic girls. Maybe this was, like, exciting for him to be like, oh, this is relaxed, this is chill, this is what hooking up without strings is like.
Right.
But we'll see. I don't know.
Cool American girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I wonder, though, if it if that's, like, normal. Like, does Prince Harry go, you know, just go walk up to some girl, go around the palace, go, you know, into the head of security's room to go talk to this girl? You know, it just, like, would he really do that himself, or would he, like, send Marcus to do it? I don't know.
Would he text? Like, they have phones.
Yeah, yeah. But then I actually admire the fact that he went in person, because it shows that he's, you know, more of a gentleman than just, hey, want to hang out.
Right. Just, I don't know if it's realistic. True. That's my only thing. I think that you're right. It is much more gentleman for him to show up in person. But I'm like, I don't know if the prince is going to be like, walk around, like, just wanted to come and see if you want to get coffee sometime. Okay, bye.
I know, right?
Okay. You had nothing better to do today.
Right. So. I know. But then again, we don't really know, I guess, a lot about how the daily life of a royal is. So maybe they are more normal than we really
That's
think.
That's very true.
I don't know.
Well, he was also kind of apologizing for his mom, right? Even if he said he wasn't.
Yeah,
so maybe he felt like he had to do that in person.
And it seemed like he was used to that, you know, like he said that this happens all the time. My mom, you know, I start dating someone and then my mom goes and talks to them and shuts it down. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe he was used to that happening. And I don't know, I guess we can kind of assume that maybe in the past he hasn't really cared too much if she talks to girls he's dating, because he wasn't super interested. But maybe because he's so interested in her, he felt like he had to go and talk to her and make sure that everything was okay. I don't know.
Make it right.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that a little bit? The interaction between her and the queen?
Yes.
That was
icy.
Awkward.
Well, the queen, her comment about her mother saying, well, maybe if you still had a mother, you would have manners. I was like, wow, okay, that's like so below the belt.
So below the belt.
Yeah, right? I totally agree. But at the same time, the way Ophelia acted towards it, I was like, you know what, sometimes you just have to suck it up. We all know that in the industry. Sometimes you're going to have things said to you that you just have to take. And, I mean, that's the Queen of England. I'm pretty sure she can say whatever she wants. And how Ophelia responded, like, when the Queen told her to curtsy. And she's like, my mom didn't teach me. And walked away. I was like, whoa.
It was kind of like a polite slap in the face almost. You know what I mean? It was like, because I would have wanted to slap her across
Absolutely.
The face. But that was just like, without being super insulting, it was just kind of giving her back exactly what she told her.
And I was cheering for her. I was like, I like Ophelia at that moment. I was happy for her and I was cheering for her. I thought she was going to say, you're not my queen, because she's American.
Oh. Yeah.
But it was just as good a line as it gave her back the mother insult. So
yeah, and I love Elizabeth Hurley. Yeah. I think she is amazing, and she does especially. I think the part that really like solidified her like queenness to me was when she was in the room with her husband, with the king, and she's saying, you know, the English crown has been protected for years, but like just mm-hmm. so like strong and her accent. And I'm just like, yes, mm-hmm. I love her.
Yeah.
Like that moment for me was when she was talking to Ophelia outside mm-hmm. and it was just like the looking down at her just mm-hmm. slightly with her eyes like, now kitsy to you, queen. And I'm like, this is her role of a lifetime. Like she yeah. was born to play this yeah. part. It was so good.
I know. She's amazing. And she looks so beautiful. I don't know how mm-hmm. old she is. I know she's no 49. Spring chicken. Yeah. She,
gosh,
is gorgeous.
Gorgeous. She looks exactly the same. I know. Austin Powers.
Right? They had her on E! For an interview, and they were talking about, like, kind of how she, like, researched for the part and what she kind of did. And she's like, well, you know, I really tried to draw inspiration on what I thought Princess Diana would mm-hmm. have acted like. She's like, of course, I couldn't get that in depth with it. And I think Princess Diana was pretty nice. But
yeah.
I think that that's very interesting when you're actually looking at royalty. And who does she really have, you know, to kind of look to for that type of
Not
role?
Camilla.
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. Cruella de Vil? I don't know, because that's pretty right? much how it is. So yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's cool to hear that that's, you know, what she was actually, how she was researching, that she was really mm-hmm. looking into a, you know, real example of what the queen might be.
Yeah.
So, but let's jump back to Robert's death. Mm-hmm. Her firstborn son. We still don't really know exactly what happened to him. What did they say? It was a military accident?
Military accident, yeah.
Training, yeah.
You had a good prediction.
Oh. Well, let's hold until the end. Yeah.
Yes. I am, like, kind of confused and, like, I don't know what to think, really, because I feel like the fact that they're saying it's a military accident sounds like something shady happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
somebody killed him mm-hmm. or... I don't know, maybe he, like, couldn't handle it or something and took his own life. I don't really know. I think it maybe was more, you know, that someone might have murdered him mm-hmm. or something. But what did you guys think about everyone's reactions? You know, at first, both parents were thinking that it was, you know, Eleanor that did something again. Like, the first scene where the king was like, oh, what did she do now? How could it get any worse? They're like, no, it's your son. And then Eleanor runs into her mom, and her mom's like, oh, what did you do now? And she's like, no, Robert's dead. And it kind of just, for a little second, kind of brought the family together mm-hmm. and made everyone kind of whole. Like, how did you, what
did you guys
think?
I thought the dad's reaction was the most, typical or would be expected, that he was the most devastated. And, you know, universally, it's the worst thing that can happen to a human being is to lose a child. And he has such humanity and is obviously so devastated over it that he wants to, you know, abolish the monarchy because it's affected him so much. But Helena is just a typical kind of ice queen. Like, mm-hmm. she wasn't on the ground screaming and crying like you would think a mother would be. She was just kind of had her arm around Eleanor. And so she had her, you know, reaction that was consistent with her character. And you saw such humanity in the father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he also said, which I thought was interesting, the reason why he said when it comes out that he wants to abolish the monarchy was because he doesn't want something else like this to happen to his son or daughter. And I thought that's what made me think, oh, this was plotted. It had mm-hmm. to have been because a military accident? Like, no one else is in the military. Like, what are you talking about? So it kind of made me think, oh, he knows there's much more to the story than they're telling us mm-hmm. right now. So I thought that was... But her reaction, you're right, the queen's reaction was very... She just feels like she has this part she has to play. And it's very sad, mm-hmm. you know, that she even feels like, as a mother, that because she's the queen, she can't show her true feelings. Right. So I thought, I mean, that was... I wonder if that's true. I'm like, mm-hmm. really? Do you have to uphold this? You know, because I feel like the people would want to see some humanity in the king and in the queen and want to see them weep maybe a little mm-hmm. bit. So I wondered about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like the scene where she was crying and some guy walked in and she like wiped her tears mm-hmm. and turned away like all of a sudden. And the king was like, you know, you just lost your son. You're allowed to be sad. Mm-hmm. And she's like, not when you're the queen.
Yeah.
Well, I thought this was an amazing way to introduce us to who everyone is. Because it's not only what really happened with this death, it's like we got to see everyone's reaction, which introduced us to who they are. Mm-hmm. So I really liked that
about
it. How
they relate to each other.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And especially the king's brother, who's extremely jealous of the throne. Mm-hmm. You know, his relationship with Princess Eleanor, how they speak to each other.
Right. Yeah.
And she knows he's hungry for the throne. And just everyone's dealings with each other. Mm-hmm. And the way they were consoling each other or not consoling each other, I thought was a really great way to introduce all of us as an audience to what the show is going to be about,
right,
too.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's touch on Cyrus and his daughters for a second, since they were introduced to us in that, the first scene when everyone found out about Robert's death and then they all came. And those girls, I mean, I should have looked up. I don't know what their names are, but the two, did you have their names?
I wrote down from an article I read on E! That their names are Princesses Maribel and Penelope.
Yeah.
You mean the real one, Beatrice and Eugenie?
No. The ones in the show. Are those the...
Based on them, I think.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That's what I'm wondering too.
Yeah.
Yes. They're so, like, outlandish. And I kind of thought their whole entrance of, you know, their... Oh, I'm sorry, Belle Welby. It's like, yeah. Really, like, their brother just died and you have to pop in, like, all, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
They're, yeah.
I mean, I think they're a funny kind of good addition to, they're mm-hmm. they're totally different character-wise than mm-hmm. the other characters, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
And they're definitely, comic
relief.
Their
brand of comedy is hilarious.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to more of that. Yeah. I think the way that they were introduced to us was like a little jarring.
It was kind of like, as a writer, like, what do I know?
Like, but this is very serious. Yeah. And then these girls are like, blah, like,
I think they should have said they were sorry first and then immediately been like, oh, I'm never flying commercial again.
Yeah.
To at least show, you know, make it a little more realistic, mm-hmm. their humor, show their sympathy, and then they go right back to being shallow, and then the brother and sister could have looked at each other like, these two are idiots.
But obviously that's not their personality.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
they
clearly are pretty, you know, into themselves and everything. Oh, I don't want to be Justin Bieber.
That was hilarious.
To be the first thing that they said to their grieving cousins, it was like, these two are characters of who knows who.
Right. And then Cyrus, their dad... Like you mentioned earlier, you know, he's jealous of the throne, and he looks at that actor. I don't know if it's that specific actor. What's his name? Jake Maskell. I don't think it's him. He reminds me of somebody, like another kind of villainous character in some other movie, and I can't think of it. And all night last night when I was watching it, I'm like, he looks like someone, but I can't put my finger on it. Hopefully it'll come to me eventually. But I really like the character, the casting.
Mm-hmm.
They look so much alike. The king and Cyrus look like they could be brothers.
Mm-hmm. And I thought Eleanor and the queen. It's
She really looks like she could be Elizabeth Hurley's daughter.
Yes. So they did a great job with the casting. And he just looks, and the way that actor does a good job at playing the very kind of like... cynical, almost, you know, just loathing brother that's like, oh, I'm so jealous.
He's awesome.
Yeah, and like how...
He's awesomely evil.
Right, how he was like, oh, Ophelia, can you give us the commoner's perspective?
Yeah,
you know, it just
so
shows,
serious.
Right, that just shows his, you know, kind of personality and attitude.
But his daughters are so different from him, so they must have taken after their mother because they are just... in their own world.
What did he
world.
Call them? Like, my stupid spawn or my...
my idiot spawn.
Yeah. Spawn. And I was like,
this
guy's evil.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do you think about the dynamic between him and his brother and the king? Because we saw a little bit at the end of the episode when they're hunting together. What are your guys' opinions on that whole brotherly dynamic?
Well, we read something that this
was loosely based on Hamlet. So
right.
Fern and I kind of thought, like, there's this whole murderous plot going on where... Cyrus wants to kill the king to become the king, but he would also have to off Prince Liam.
Right.
He's already picked... We don't know what the death is of the Prince Robert, but God knows maybe he had something to do with it. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
So I think we thought that's where that's going, that the king needs to watch his back, because it seems like he's out to get the king.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do you guys think that after that last scene where... I mean, we all agreed that we thought he really did shoot his brother...
until we saw that he was going to.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you think that the king now after that happened, because he turned around and said, oh, that was close. Mm-hmm. Do you think he kind of, that was like foreshadowing to him, like, oh, maybe I do need to watch my back?
Well, did you hear what the brother responded? He said, when he said that was really close, and his brother said, long live the king.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that was his response. I'm like, dude, you almost shot me. And he's like, long live the king. He basically just told his brother, watch out.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
wasn't a sincere mm-hmm. comment, you know? Yeah. And so the brother, I think, if he didn't know before, I'm pretty sure he knows now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought that was a very interesting comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I
agree.
That
was great writing. I was like,
Yeah. To end it, like, for the episode, that was awesome.
And I wonder where they shot that scene, too, because it was so pretty, like, up on mm-hmm. the cliff, mm-hmm. and it was kind of, like, foggy and just... And mm-hmm. the way that they had the scene set up where they're standing, you know, face-to-face, but far enough, like, the way that the shot was, mm-hmm. I thought it was just, like, a really, like, kind of... capturing shot to mm-hmm. see just the two figures standing there, like, looking at each other. Well, almost like a face-off, like, in the Wild Wild West, where they're about to, like, pull out their guns, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I watched a great little video on E! Where they were talking about how they're exclusively shooting in London. So I think that they're really enjoying some amazing sets. I mean, obviously, this is not Buckingham Palace, but it's an excellent substitute wherever they're shooting. So... more power to them.
Yeah, maybe we'll get more scenes like that.
Yeah, definitely.
And when they were talking, actually, to go back, the brothers, when they were talking, and the conversation was interesting, when he went back to abolishing the monarchy, and he was like, what would you want to be if you weren't king? And the king responded, a fisherman. And he goes, what would you want to be? And the brother said, king. Like, that was a real...
That
so,
was awesome, too.
I mean, if he's not, like, literally throwing red flags at his mm-hmm. brother, I don't know how else he's doing it, so...
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to make a prediction, but it's going to be very, very interesting between them two.
Yeah, so speaking of abolishing the monarchy, as you said, the king had that whole, you know, speech during their dinner when Ophelia just happened to be invited to that dinner, too, you know? She comes waltzing in. What did Eleanor say? Like, speaking of unwanted guests or uninvited guests or something like that. But, yeah, so... Like you were saying earlier, I think, Tracy, you said it, that the fact that the king wants to abolish the monarchy because he doesn't want this to happen again to another child, but like you said, none of the other children are in the military, so it kind of alludes to the fact that maybe this was some sort of setup or whatever, but... what do you guys think? I mean, if that were to happen in real life today, if they announced that they were abolishing the monarchy in England, like, how do you think that would affect not only the royal family, but just everyone?
I don't think anyone would care that much, because they really they have no political power, so they're just figureheads, and they do pay their own taxes now. That was a big thing years ago. So I think a lot of people would be happy, but I love royal watching. I wouldn't be happy. This American over here would not be happy, but as far as... people in, you know, in the UK, I don't know. I would, if I had a guess, I'd say they'd be quite pleased.
Well, I guess we could specify it to the show and, like, just think of the fact, what would they do? You know, what would all these characters do if there were no monarchy, if they were no longer prince and princess? Mm-hmm. What are they going to do?
Get jobs.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Maybe, like, all your aristocratic friends who actually do, I don't know, some kind of a job and not just sit around all day, but are still aristocrats, maybe could put you into their line of work somehow, as if like a friendly helping you out kind of a thing. But once it got generations down the line, it's kind of like, would you just become,
a normal person
or would you, you know, still be a wealthy, elite, aristocratic level family? I don't know.
No, go ahead.
I think that, okay, so I think England would be very, I don't think they would ever let the monarchy be abolished, because that's like, this is going to be the worst example ever, but that's like their Kardashians. Like, that's their entertainment, minus like the royalty does charity work. But for them, it's something, I mean, we're not proud of the Kardashians.
I know.
Not hating on the Kardashians, but that's who like they're proud of, and it's kind of like a tradition to them, and it sets them apart from America and a lot mm-hmm. of other places, so... I don't think that they mind that the queen doesn't do anything or, you know, because they do a lot of charity work, showing up at events. And I think that's kind of their job, is to be royalty. And I think that you saw the millions of people that go out to, like, literally support them for everything. And it's true. You watch the news all over. You watch the royal wedding. Right. How many people watch
And it how many people made money from it? That's true. They did bring a lot of, they did bring a lot of money.
So I just feel like, I mean, everyone's like, this is history. We're watching history because we don't know if we'll ever see another one. Like, maybe Harry will never get married, or maybe he will. But, you know, William's the next one in line anyway. It was just an amazing thing that if you weren't tuned into the royalty before, like, that tuned everyone in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's very, but no, going back, if they didn't, I don't think any of them would know how to do it themselves because... This is the life that they've always known.
Yeah. The tables would be turned. They'd have to turn to their aristocratic friends. Yeah.
Well, even one of the redheaded sisters said, well, maybe I'd be a waitress. Oh, would you fancy another pot of tea? You know, like, just thinking, you know, she obviously doesn't know what it would be like to really be a waitress. So she's just thinking, like, oh, that would be fun, you know. But, yeah, I don't think that will really happen in the show. I think it was just kind of a brash reaction to his son dying. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the dynamics of that family, because there are a lot of... I want to start with Queen Helena and Princess Eleanor, because they have not a normal mother-daughter relationship. They're very, like, spiteful towards each other. And I don't know. Do you guys agree with me? I kind of feel like the Queen is... I mean, yes, okay, yes, the princess is a little, you know, out of control, to say the least, but her mom is just, like, so mean to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. She calls her a little bitch, and then, like, expects her to, like, you know, yeah. obey her and think she's, you know, listen to her. Like, if my mom called me that, I'd be like, oh my gosh, okay, no, I'm not going to listen to you, and I'm going to keep doing all these things. Like, I don't know.
I'd be like... Mommy's so mean and daddy's so nice.
Right? And that's exactly the way the dynamic is mm-hmm. with her.
I guess you wonder how long it's been going on, though. You know, like, how
her
long...
partying?
Yeah. Because that, even though that can get old, and just the way, you know, they had, like, the picture of, like, Beaver on the... I mean, she's all over the tabloids and all negative press. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how long that's been building up, that the Queen's like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not dealing with this anymore, that now it's just, like... anger towards both of them, and she does it more because her mom doesn't like it, and the mom hates her more for it, and so that's like their relationship.
Yeah,
I don't know.
To me, I felt like they're too similar. They're kind of the same person, except the queen is all about keeping the good image going,
mm-hmm.
and the daughter's so sick of it that she's rebelling.
Yeah.
So to me, they have very much the same heart on the inside, black heart. I don't know, but you know, it's. Who they are is coming out in two completely different ways to the world. Mm-hmm. Because the queen looks so in control and is pulling all the strings behind the scenes, and the princess looks so out of control.
Yeah. They're both very strong personalities.
Yes.
I agree with you for sure. And we didn't really get to see the queen interact with Prince Liam directly too much in this episode, so I'm not quite sure about their relationship, but it seems kind of like the protective mother... of her, you know, young son. You know, obviously she went and talked to Ophelia, and she's talked to her other, or his other, you know, hookups or girlfriends or whatever. So I'm interested to see kind of how their relationship is. But then we can talk about the king with Princess Eleanor, and we saw the whole scene where she's eating the pie and all that, and what he says to her in there. I think we all wrote this quote down. When she's saying, you know, all these nice things about her dad, and then asks if she disappoints him, and he's like, no, you know, all those things that you see in me, I see in you every day, don't medicate all that wonder.
Yeah.
Which was just, like, such a nice, instead of saying, like, you need to stop doing drugs, you need, like, it was like a sweet, endearing way of saying, like, you're so wonderful, don't, mm-hmm. you know, hide it.
Just the way you are, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And their interactions just showed, you know, like you said earlier, mm-hmm. how much humanity that, or, humanity that, you know, the king has compared to the queen.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like a real, like, father-daughter, like, daddy's girl kind of relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that was very real. That was, like, a very real. Yeah. I just felt like I was in that conversation just mm-hmm. when they were going back and forth. And just the emotions, like, you can tell she's, like, in love with her father. She mm-hmm. thinks he's everything. And that's, like, his baby girl. So mm-hmm. he's not going to lose hope in her or make her feel even worse than she already does, you know? And they have a very open relationship. She's telling him, like, I'm baked.
Yeah.
So I am really upset about our brother dying, but I'm baked, so I'm good.
And yeah.
Like, all right. Like, you know?
I know. And he's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. That statement made me wonder, like, saying medicate, was a really good trigger word for me to be like, well, wait, why is she constantly doing drugs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, what is she just one of those kids that's like, I live in a prison, basically. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go out and do what I can and medicate and numb myself to feel better because I feel like a prisoner. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, was there something that happened years ago that she's medicating herself to not feel pain from that? Like, I don't know what it is, but maybe that's something we'll find out.
Or maybe years of her mother expecting such the highest expectations.
Too much. Yeah.
Yeah, because she said that she dropped out of the university.
Yeah.
That was about a year ago when Ophelia's mother passed away. But I was just going to say something else and I forgot.
What about the conversation between... I love the conversation between Ophelia and Eleanor.
Which one was
really nice on the
balcony. They were drinking together.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Random.
When Ophelia's just roaming the halls like by herself and then, oh, Phoebe, come drink with me.
Like, that was awkward.
Okay. Yeah, no, I liked that scene too. It was almost like she kind of treated her like maybe the sister she never had, you know? And she doesn't really have a traditional like mother figure that she can tell things to. Mm-hmm. So that's how I kind of saw that interaction.
And the way Eleanor shared the story about her father, just, you know, saying he's, you know, a badass and everyone knows it, but it was very sweet of her to tell that story. Mm-hmm. She didn't have to do that, and it was a cute moment between them. You kind of saw Eleanor's heart.
Yeah.
You did. You saw her treat her like an actual person, you know, and this whole time she's had this facade up of, like, I'm royalty and I make it look good and this is how I am. And she really just comes and is like, you know, your dad is, like, amazing and your mom looked elegant.
Yeah.
I didn't know her, but she looked elegant.
Yeah.
And it was a very weird moment for me because I was trying to figure out the relationship and if you'd be telling a stranger this or how long have they known each other? Like we said, we'll get their backstory. But it was very, very, very true moment into Eleanor. So I like that.
Good. And I think it was a really well-written scene. We're just all having a problem with, like, Ophelia popping up out of nowhere. But here's the thing is, like, Ophelia is our connection to both sides. It's the connection to the royals and the connection to everyone who works for them or the commoners or everyone else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe it'll be written differently next week of, you know, how she's popping in and out of the scenes. But I think it was kind of her job this week to kind of be the narrator and introduce that. We didn't really realize it. But as she's passing by everyone, that's how we're getting to know them.
Yeah.
And she's just jaunting through the palace.
Yeah, because you know what? Actually, now that you bring that up about being the narrator, there was in the very beginning when Liam is running home after he finds out about Robert and she narrates over, you know, I've never seen a boy so tortured, or I forget exactly what she said, but that was the only time we heard her actually, like, narrate during the show.
I thought the rest of the show was going to be narrated.
Yeah, so maybe it's going to happen more often. I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
That's true.
But speaking of Liam and jumping back to the king, how about, I mean, another great scene with him and Liam where he's talking about how he really likes Ophelia and he said, you know, the king just has so many great quotes. Oh my gosh, I had to write them all down. Mm-hmm. But he's like, Ted, who's Ophelia's father, chose duty over love. Robert chose honor over his own path. So he kind of tells Liam, you know, choose love and your own path. You know, don't feel like you have to, you know, fit to this mold, which I thought was really nice and completely different than what we've been saying about the queen the whole time, how she's always wants everyone to fit into this royal mold.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. What are your guys' overall opinions or feelings about the king? I mean, I love him. I feel like he's just such a great dad, and we haven't really seen too much of his royal duties except for the fact that he was out there, you know, hugging that little boy and picking him up and greeting the crowd and stuff. But I love him. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah. Before the show started, I thought it was going to be so much of Elizabeth Hurley and so much of the twins. And I had no idea that I would end up being like, I love Ophelia. I like her. And I love the king. I want more of him.
Yeah.
He's a great character.
Yeah,
very sympathetic.
Very easy to like. I totally agree. I think that you brought up the conversation he had with Liam, and I thought that was so interesting, but it's almost like he's giving advice, like, in hindsight. Like, that's the part I like the most, because he's like, you know, I went into the military because my dad did, and then he went in because I did, and you know what? Like, let's break this. And I thought that that was just very interesting that he's just like, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
And I think that that's sometimes the best type of advice to take from someone. So I love him. I think that he's honestly going to try to like set everything straight. I mean, who knows how he was a few years ago, and, you know, maybe he's softened up a little bit and that'll continue to happen. So I love him.
Mm-hmm. I loved him too. Easy to love. Yeah. You know, I think he's going to be the one good soul, and everybody else kind of has so many flaws. Mm-hmm. So it's good that we have him to balance out all the cray-cray.
The moral compass, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Do you guys have any final thoughts about that episode, our first episode of the season? So exciting.
I can't wait to see more of Eleanor and Jasper, the servant.
Yes. Okay, yeah, we forgot to talk about that. So Jasper was the guy who played dumb and, you know, was her security guy in the wine cellar, and then all of a sudden we find out later that he drugged her at the club and taped them and is going to use that as blackmail. So what do you... Okay, why don't we just jump into predictions?
Okay.
And we can touch on a few things in our predictions.
Yeah, let's do it.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So since we were just talking about it, what do you guys think is going to happen with that relationship? Obviously, he thinks he can keep his job because of that tape. So,
yeah, I think it'll be deliciously scandalous. And she's learning a lesson that she can't manipulate people and treat people the way, just however she feels, and that there are consequences, and it'll be fun to watch.
And it was also interesting how we brought up he lost his accent.
Yes. Oh, right.
So now he's maybe American. Yeah. And there's more to it, and this might even be like disastrous. So I think that's going to be a huge turning point. He just gets up and all of a sudden we're like, wait, wasn't he Brit? Now he, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's something behind that. So
yeah, that kind of blew my mind. So I think Jasper's character is going to be a bigger part of the story than we realized. I don't know what kind of devilish things he has planned or has in his past, but something's going on because he's not British.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he might be like a spy or like a mole or something. I don't know, you know? So hopefully somebody will be able to help Eleanor retrieve that phone and get rid of all that, you know, the blackmail. But I almost think that it might end up coming out anyways, just because that's what's kind of seems to be happening with her character.
True.
I don't know. But what about some predictions for the next episode? What do you guys think is going to happen?
Wow.
I don't know. But you had a good prediction about Robert's death and that how it could be any number of things. And that's going to be a storyline. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like because it's so shrouded in mystery of what really happened, like even the prince and princess don't know what happened for real, that it's going to actually come out to have been something way bigger and way different and have a lot to do with what's been going on with all the characters all along this season. Because I think this season's really just going to follow the storyline of the king wanting to get rid of the monarchy and everyone's reactions to that. They're fighting against, it seems like mostly everyone's against it. Maybe not Prince Liam, but... So I think it'll be a little crazy. Yeah. And Robert's death maybe had something to do with, well, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's more nefarious than they're leading, you know, letting on. And then the repercussions and how people react to it will be interesting.
I agree.
Yeah.
So if you remember in the previews, they showed that blonde girl who I think is Liam's ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see what's going to happen with that. I feel like, at least from what we saw, she's going to come back and try and win him back just because he's now, you know, found a new girl. Because didn't he say in the episode that, because I think Queen Helena said like, oh, poor
Gemma.
Is that her name, Gemma? And then Liam was like, no, not poor Gemma. She left me.
Yeah.
So I think maybe she's going to try to come back and sabotage his relationship with
And now
with
that
Ophelia.
He's the boy who'll be king.
Right. And because they let, at the very end of that episode, he and Ophelia walked out together with all those cameras.
Paparazzi.
So of course she saw, you know.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see her character next week. But yeah, guys. First episode of the season. Subscribe, watch, write comments. Let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about, if we missed anything, if you have any suggestions, just comments about the season. I mean, it's like we said, first episode, so I'm excited.
Hopefully we'll get some people in here, too.
Hopefully we'll be getting the creator of the show and maybe some of these stars.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if we're lucky. Guys, tell them where they can find you.
Guys, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Megan Stecker. And if you guys want to hashtag us with ABTV The Royal so we can all talk to each other that way.
And I'm Tracy. You can find me on Insta at TRACIPRO or on Twitter at TRACIABTV.
And this is Fern, and you can find me on Twitter at Fern Ronay and on Facebook at Fern Ronay.
And I'm Christina Kaplan. You can find me everywhere at Tina Kapp. Thank you so much for watching, and we can't wait for next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.